up, everybody? Oh my god, I am so hungover from last night. Back. Joked about recording a podcast while drunk. Not the most original idea, but a fun one nonetheless. And yesterday I did it because yesterday was my birthday, Monday, July 22nd, and I turned 35. So it's awkward to do anything on a Monday other than I go to work. So I just went to a bar, got there at 6, and left at 1:30 a.m. Just had a few drinks with folks that were able to come by. If you weren't, that's cool too. Yeah, you know, I wasn't expecting a lot of folks to come on a Monday for happy hour, but I had a good time. And yeah, we just had like the most random conversations. And I'm recording this intro before I listen to the whole thing and start putting it together, because there were some parts in the night where like the music was too loud, so I wasn't able to hear. And depending on the audio quality, y'all might not be able to hear it, what people were saying either. So it'll be interesting. To hear all of this and put it together and put it out there. And yeah. I mean, I'm trying to get just like to a functional level. I'm drinking Gatorade, the lemon cucumber flavor. If you've never had that, that's like the most Mexican flavor Gatorade has ever put out. And it's one of those best hangover cures, because you just, your body needs electrolytes. It's got what plants need. So yeah, good times last night. Thank you for everybody who's, you know, been sending me messages, best wishes, all that good stuff. Thank you everybody for listening to this really random episode of Audible Heights, recorded Monday, July 22nd. Is I got drunk and drunk throughout the night. So I don't think I'll be drinking like that anytime soon. Maybe when I'm 40. We'll see. And even then, I hesitate to do it. But I also did want to give a shout out to Chewy over at Primera Taza, and then the folks at Evil Cooks, because they hooked it up with a Chilaquiles burrito this morning that I'm just like, oh my god, I woke up with a headache. Completely dehydrated, even though I was trying to drink as much water as possible last night. And then, you know, I had a latte and then that burrito, and I was like, oh, okay, cool, like I'm in like a functional state now. And then just went to the corner store, got a couple of Gatorades. It's 2 o'clock now, so I just been like watching old episodes of Malcolm in the Middle on Hulu, just chilling, because it's really muggy today as well. So hopefully you are listening to this in an air-conditioned space. Also, cool surprise is I made it onto one of my favorite YouTube shows. I don't know if it's shown anywhere else, but I just see it on YouTube. It's called Todos los Tacos, All the Tacos. It's a show from Vice/Munchies, where the homie Francisco Gomez just takes you around town, you know, in Mexico, different parts of Latin America, to talk about the different kinds of tacos that are out there, their history, you know, and then visits a couple of the more famous taquerias of that style in that episode. So, you know, if he's talking about Pastor in one episode, he'll go to one that's about Pastor, Carnitas. There's one that I pop out in that got published today, which you can find on Munchies on YouTube, All the Tacos, is kind of like the history here in the United States of the crunchy taco, which traditionally is like a hard-shell tortilla or deep-fried tortilla with, you know, variations on beef, whether it's like hamburger meat or shredded beef. But almost universally, the taco has cheese and lettuce and maybe sour cream and salsa. So super simple, but a lot of places, you know, put their own spit on it. And I come in toward the end where the crew is making a stop at Taco Madness, which happened in July. And that's where I met Francisco for the first time. I saw him and the crew walking in. I was like, yo, like, you know, totally fanning out. I'd be like, man, I love the show. You're so awesome. You know, I always watch it. He was super awesome. He took a picture with me. He was super genuine and nice. He was like just taking pictures with folks throughout the day at Taco Madness that recognized them. Mostly from like, hey, you're that guy from like YouTube. So I, in my super pocho Spanish, which I'll also say that when we did that interview, I was like a bit buzzed at that point at Taco Madness. So, you know, I tried my best. They sound really bad, but there's nothing too bad. I also noticed that I do this thing with my hands where I'm clapping. Like, I don't know why I clap. And then I make hand gestures. But, you know, check it out. One step closer to getting my show on Vice.
Are you talking to yourself yet?
I'm recording the introduction, Marisol. Wow. You just came up behind me like a creeper.
Why? Who's he talking to?
Wow. Do you want to say anything about last night, Marisol?
I regret drinking tequila. It's like poison to my soul. It's eating away my guts right now. I hate myself.
Go lie down. Go get you some more electrolytes. You need them electrolytes. So yeah, check that out. Thank y'all for coming. Thank you for the birthday wishes. And we will hopefully get back to our regularly scheduled programming by the next episode. If not, I'll just go through with my threat of, like, talking about anime and wrestling on this podcast, which nobody wants to hear that. But, hey, funny thing, we did end up talking about that at some point during the interviews yesterday, and we decided as the group that we were talking about there yesterday that the Karate Kid, the first one, is officially... It's officially a hood, quote-unquote, movie in terms of, like, the way, you know, when somebody says, like, a hood movie, they're thinking about, like, Blood In, Blood Out, Menace to Society, Boys in the Hood, those kind of movies. So because of when it came out, because it's in the Valley, and because of, you know, just of where that movie is in terms of, like, time and space, we somehow came to the conclusion that it's... And it deserves to be included into that library of hood classics. So, yeah, you'll listen to how we made that decision. So, thanks, y'all, and check it out. Hey, don't look at me, Memo! There's camera. So if you can't tell, I'm pretty buzzed. I think you're like...
Live from Eric's birthday party.
Yes, live from my birthday party, Monday, July 22nd. What time is it right now?
It's
7:34. Let me turn this up a little bit.
For all the folks in the East Coast. Around the world.
All those East Coast listeners, international listeners. Yes, it's my birthday today. I turned 35. And I decided to just hang out at the Mermaid Bar. So please, introduce yourself. Just pass the mic around.
Okay. Hello, everybody. My name is Miguel Ramos. In the house, yeah. Celebrating Eric. Oh!
This is Memo Torres, and I'm not going to howl.
Yo, what up, what up? This is Ivan. Ivan, we're out here celebrating Eric.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, it's Anisha.
Hey, everybody, it's Arely. Happy birthday, Eric. Jasmine here, spending some good time with some good people.
Let me get the other people. Hey, so introduce yourself.
My name is Sophia, a.k.a. Sopa Sandoval.
Hey, Eric. We were like, he's going to do his podcast. This is Laura Navar.
Suriel.
Well, say a little bit about yourself, Suriel.
I love tacos and good beer.
All right, that's good enough. All right, introduce yourself.
Marisol.
What are you doing here, Marisol?
I don't know.
I just happened to be here.
I just find myself in this watering hole.
Yeah, we're all very thirsty on a Monday night. Yeah, so Marisol is my girlfriend. Everybody else here is homies. Is everybody here listening to the show? You listen to the show, Memo?
I've actually listened to a few episodes.
You probably listened to the one with Daniel, huh?
No, the one with Caesar, because Caesar told me about it, and I don't remember the other one.
But it was a while ago.
That's fine. So yeah, I'm pretty buzzed now. I have like what, 4 drinks. Memo got me a whiskey shot. The homie Ken and Megan have to leave because they're going to a protest. They also got me a drink, and we've been eating tater tots and just talking about sex.
Everybody listening to this podcast missed out on some great material. I don't know if I can repeat it.
We got the homies. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Nicolai Garcia.
Introduce yourself.
Maria Flores.
Yeah, thank you for coming. Drunk podcasting.
Oh,
what's up, Mac? Thanks for coming, man. Thank you. Please. I'm kind of buzzed, so there's a lot of good drinks. They got a nice selection of beers. It's still happy hour, I think. Is it? Is it before 8?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, thanks y'all for coming. Cool. Is there anything you're looking forward to today?
Getting fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to like live that Black Flag song, Wasted, but like in real life.
Oh, I would want to live out Black Coffee. Well, thanks y'all for coming. Let me put this away. All right, check, check.
You're recording parts of it? Have you started it yet?
I started now.
Hey, how's it going? You're on the air with Eric Huerta.
Yeah, this is the homie Kenny. Say hi, Kenny.
Hey, orale.
Yeah. So, I believe we were talking about...
Que hongo.
Que onda. Hongo is mushroom. Hongo is mushroom.
That's what my primos say, and when I go to, they say que hongo to get even slangier.
Did they call you foo?
What's that?
Did they call you foo?
Foo? No. Not in Mexico.
Oh, all right.
In Mexico, you say que onda. They go, hey, que hongo. Yeah, that's like joke on top of a joke.
I guess. I've never heard that one before.
How are you?
Good. That works.
Anyway.
Orale, what's happening?
Hey, please introduce yourself.
Can you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. My name is Mariana. I'm here at Eric's banging birthday party.
I'm like talking to myself in the microphone.
Live from the Mermaid in Little Tokyo.
Yeah.
Eric's birthday bonanza bash extravaganza.
Bam, bam, bam.
Bam, bam, bam.
Wait, somebody's leaving again.
It'll be my birthday,
right? Thanks for coming, Arely. Is there anything you want to say?
I think the group of people that you surround yourself, including these amazing people, are just a demonstration of how amazing you are. And we love you, Eric. Happy 35th birthday.
Thank you.
And may we celebrate every year.
Thank you. Get home safe. All right. Oh, well. Pop. Okay, so I just told Kenny.
Nino Brown, because of your shirt.
Aside from looking at my shirt and making New Jack City references, that who?
What?
Who's gonna play Blade?
Mahershala Ali.
He's gonna be the new Blade. And what are your thoughts?
Okay, so the fool from Alita, right? Okay, here's the thing. When I first saw that movie, okay, Alita, right? I'm like, this guy sounds like Wesley. That's the thing. You don't want people to watch this new Blade and be thinking about Wesley. And yet, here you go, cast a guy that looks like Wesley, sounds like Wesley, and it's just ridiculous. You need to go different. Got to go young, got to go old, got to go different. Because if I'm going to be watching this new movie and you're trying to get me into this new Blade, right? How are you going to do it when the whole time I'm thinking about the old Blade?
He did it for 3 movies.
Did what? What do you mean?
Wesley Snipes did 3 Blade movies.
No, no, no. I get it. You're saying Wesley's done. Okay, fine. But then you got to go different. Then you got to... Do you don't understand what I'm saying?
I do. But so who do you think would be a good choice?
Okay, now that's a different question. That's a different question.
You're suggesting that they go different. Who would be different?
Because that guy's voice is too similar. He has that breathy Wesley Snipes. Dude, just listen to him. Just go watch Alita, and you'll be like, oh, damn.
I did watch it. I didn't like it that much.
Because you're watching Alita, and you're going, oh, damn. What do you mean you don't like it that much? You gotta support.
James Cameron's tired out.
It's Rodriguez. You gotta support the Carnalitos.
Yeah, but he's better when he works with a $5,000 budget.
No, you know what's funny, dude? Here, just aside. Okay, just talking about movies and Alita. Okay, that show is interesting because for once, I actually. Here's the thing, Robert is good, and it was really neat to see him with money. Like, oh, this is what happens when you actually give Robert some money. It looks like a movie. Nah, he's okay. He's always. I don't know.
He's not listening to this.
He's fine, but he just never struck. His style never really kind of pops out. I just see him, like, for instance, if you watch, say, Desperado. You really want me to get on a soapbox on this, huh? Desperado, right? Okay, so check it out. So, like, Desperado. You want to talk about Desperado? Is this on?
Desperado is one of my favorite movies because it has a young Danny Trejo.
Yeah, too bad it's done by John Woo by proxy. Too bad. Too bad it's a John Woo movie set in Mexico.
I don't remember.
Were there, like, doves somewhere in one of the shootout scenes?
No, but it's that style. It's that double-fisted, you know, Chayun Fat double pistol flying around.
That's some hardball shit right there.
Like, the way he... Dude, just look at that bar scene. That's hard-boiled. Come on. There's no way to escape it. Anyways, how do we get on this?
Because of my shirt, and I have Nino Brown.
Anyway, oh, so you asked me, who would I cast? Hiya. Who would you cast? Okay, it has to be Blade. Like, it's Blade the character still, right? Like a reboot? Huh. So we get this. All right, Mariana, we got the assignment to reboot Blade. But who would you cast?
Michael J. White was the first guy that came to mind.
He's too old.
Yeah, but you said he's too old. So are we rebooting it? Because I'd love to see an old Blade.
No, I would Logan it and go old Blade. Or I would go young Blade and go with who's a young cat that's like cool and hot and awesome? Michael B. Jordan. That's it.
But he already got his Killmonger.
I don't care. Dude, hey, screw you. If that white guy can be the Human Torch and fucking Captain America, then Michael J. White can... not Michael J. White. Then Michael B. Jordan. See, I'm getting all my B's and J's all mixed up. No.
They're all Michael.
No, that's it. Let's make that movie. Michael B. Jordan is young Blade, yeah, right? And like, he doesn't even know he's a vampire or a daywalker yet or whatever, that kind of shit. And then you got young Whistler, too. And then that's how you get the money, right? Who's the young Whistler? Who's young Whistler?
I'm Elliot.
He's too old. Where? No. We need like a middle-aged, like, Ewan McGregor kind of asshole. We need, like...
John Travolta.
Yeah, like we need sexy Whistler. You know what I mean? Like a sexy Whistler.
Kurt Russell.
I would go with that.
But he was already, like, in the...
Yeah, maybe... What's a good...
Who's the guy in the Gaga movie?
The guy in the Gaga... Oh! Bradley Cooper. Bradley Cooper and Michael B. Jordan. Okay, now let's tie it up. Who's the bad guy? Who's the asshole vampire? There's always an asshole vampire.
Nosferatu.
No, but we need... But no. I'm saying casting-wise, right? Like, okay, if Michael B. Jordan is the hero, right? Then who's the huevón? Who's the chonch that plays the white vampire asshole trying to kill Blade all the time? Who's that guy?
Steve Buscemi.
No.
You got to match. But here's the thing. The thing about Blade is that you got to have, like, hand-to-hand, like, someone that looks good with them fighting hand-to-hand with swords and shit. Steve, yeah, maybe, like, Reservoir Dogs Steve Buscemi.
Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves. Yeah, he plays a good bad guy. He makes a good bad guy, Keanu Reeves. And he's not afraid to play bad guys, too.
Keanu Reeves as a villain will put butts in seats so fast. He's fighting Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan. I like your Michael B. Jordan blade, right? I think he's got the swagger, good looking kid, good, you know, he has a good build and all that. Athletic, right?
I know. The guy that plays Kylo Ren.
Adam Driver.
There you go. He'd be a good villain.
Adam Driver as the antagonist.
Kind of vampire-ish look already, you know, he's kind of tall, you know.
Well, I already saw speculation. I saw speculation online that he's being considered for Doctor Doom.
And then, like, and then Wesley can make a cameo. He's like, he could be a cameo guy. Or maybe he's Blade too. Maybe, like, what? It's too bad. You know, Wesley, I like Wesley Snipes.
Do time travel Blade. We have old Blade and he has to go back in time and it's Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, kind of like a Days of Future Past kind of thing. And then, like, you got, like, a future Blade has to train the young Blade.
I got a better one for you. No, like, Wesley Snipes comes back and then he becomes his own dad.
So he literally has to, he goes fucks himself.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself, Blade. He's like, okay. Okay, I will.
That's Looper with what's his name from Die Hard? Will Smith? No. Bruce Willis, thank you. And Joe, my boy toy, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Dude, that's a really nice shirt. I like your shirt. That's a really nice Nino Brown. Sit your $5 ass down before I make change.
I think that's a good question, Memo, since you're here. What is one of your favorite, like, hood movies? Like, whether it's, like, from East L.A. or, like Kenny says, like, New Jack City. Hold on, I got these cables tied up.
I think it's got to be Boys in the Hood. I think that one scene where what the hell's his name? The guy in
Ricky?
No, Morpheus.
Oh, Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah, Lawrence Fishburne is in that, and he's breaking down, like, gentrification to those kids. That's like nobody had ever even heard that term or talked about it back in the day. And that kind of woke me up a little bit.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. I was always like, oh, shit, this guy, you know, he's talking it in the business terms away, and that's how real capitalism and everything works. But anyways, yeah, I was young and already, like, that kind of woke me up. I'm like, So, yeah, that's my hood movie.
All right.
What's the question? What's your favorite hood
movie? What would be your favorite, like, hood movie? Wait. So before you go, Anisha, do you have a favorite, like, hood movie? Like New Jack City, Boys in the Hood. Is there something that resonates? Oh, Friday?
Yeah, because he watches it there all the time. He knows every single line from the movie, he knows. All
right. We got to watch it together. I have the Blu-ray.
You have the Blu-ray?
And it has deleted scenes.
Oh, shit. Now we have to watch it.
See, Marisol gets mad at me because I be watching movies like Dodgeball or... Oh, you hate when I watch Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Much.
You can only watch it so many.
Tolerance is like only so. Yeah, I feel that.
Hey, that's the only Adam Sandler movie I can tolerate.
What about Will Ferrell?
Not so much anymore. It's too much.
You're not getting a hot take from me.
Get some sound bites.
Thank you for coming. Is there anything you want to say? Thank you for being a podcast listener.
Looking forward to the next episode where Marisol interviews Eric on all of the quirks.
That would be cool.
Quirks of living with
Switch
Eric.
It up.
I'm interested in that.
We did talk about my, like, 35-year-old blanket. I'm pretty sure I'm 90% sure I'm conceived in. Yes, thank you.
That's adorable.
Well, thank you guys. Thank y'all for coming. We gotta go to work tomorrow. I don't, though. Miguel!
Thank you, sir.
Miguel, do you have a favorite hood movie?
Boys in the Hood.
Oh, that's Super Boys in the Hood already.
Someone said that already?
Yeah.
All right, then. I would say the Marlon Wayans, what is it?
Don't be a menace to society.
Don't be a menace to society while drinking juice in the hood, because
it's a parody
of that one, and it's fucking hilarious.
Need some more comedy in the hood.
Yeah.
Who's Gone Wild needs to have their own fucking...
like their own movie. Oh, man.
So what, best hood movie or favorite hood movie?
What?
So was the question favorite hood movie or best hood movie?
No, there's no best. It's just it's a preference.
Oh, like favorite. Okay, and what qualifies that? Just in the hood movie? What's the criteria?
So there's this standard, like Boys in the Hood, okay. Menace to Society, Vatos Locos, what was that? Okay. Oh, Blood In, Blood Out.
Anything that's made by New Line in the 90s.
But I was going to say, it can also be like whatever you consider to be a hood movie.
Okay. Yeah. That's
a good reference, though. New Line didn't sponsor a lot of this shit.
I never thought about it. That's why, because I like them all. They're like my children. You can't choose between Boys in the Hood and Menace Society. They're so different.
Have you seen Gook?
They're way different. Excuse me? Gook?
Gook.
Gook?
Yeah.
Did you say Gook?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen Gook. Oh, you know what? You know what's a good hood movie, actually? Was it? Honey, what? Dope.
Dope is a fun hood movie. Dope is great.
You know what my favorite part of Dope is? My favorite part in Dope is when that rapper guy who plays the drug dealer, because they have to go to their cousin or some shit, and then they're like, I forgot what the deal is, but I remember that...
That's Cap G.
Is it?
Yeah, he has blonde hair.
No. It's that part in Dope where they have to go to, this drug dealer...
Yeah, that's Cap G, and he works in the fashion
rapper.
District.
Like, in real life, he's a rapper.
That's Cap G.
Okay, I don't know him.
It's Cap G.
But I don't think that's his... I don't think that...
That's not his character's name.
Cap G? No, I think...
He's from Atlanta.
Anyway, he was wearing the white tank top.
That's Cap G.
Anyways, Dope I thought was a good... Dope was dope.
That's the latest edition. It's a great movie.
Is it my favorite? See, you said favorite, see? That's tough. I don't know, man.
I was going to say Set It Off is my favorite, because anytime you see brown women who are queer robbing banks, I'm down. But Dope is going to give it a run for its money, because that might also be my favorite. You know, it's funny. I know it takes place in Inglewood, but I grew up in North Hollywood in, the hoodie part, and all those locations are in North Hollywood. I'm like, oh, shit, this reminds me of my friend used to loiter after school. Oh, that's the river next to my old apartment where my mom was like, don't climb that fence, even though everybody was climbing that fence to, get in. Yeah.
Jose, do you have a favorite hood movie?
Favorite hood movie. I'm going to be serious, but... I'm just in the tech world. That's really... The only thing that I've been is, Koreatown, and that's the only thing that I really know about from everything that I know. Trust me. Not so much about the hood movies. I think the only one that I would say that I guess it would be qualified was the one that about the cops. I'm not sure if you know that movie. It's very vague, but...
Colors?
I think so. Oh.
Colors.
Colors, yeah. That one, yeah.
I would consider Training Day a hood movie.
I love... Training Day for a good long time was my jam. I would just watch it, just throw it on, just to watch. I would watch that shit all the time. All the time. And the special features, the commentary, just watching it. Just watching Snoop Dogg act. Look, man, I don't know, man. I'm Cape Town. I don't know, man. Right?
Sophia, do you have a favorite hood movie?
Hood movie? See, I grew up on Mexican Cine de Oro kind of stuff.
That golden age. Well, all right, then what's your favorite movie from then?
But you know what? See, I was into the Pedro Infante, and then it was just now that I'm older, I'm like, damn, he's hella...
Problematic?
Problematic as fuck. I don't like that. I love his voice. He's charismatic. But all that shit is
go to the kitchen, make me some tortilla.
Yeah. These women that were very powerful, and they would come out and they're chingonas, and then all of a sudden they were oh, I love you, I'll do anything for you. I'm like, fuck that.
Marisol, I mean, you went with me to the Swami when I bought like half of the Hood movies. Do you have a favorite one?
None of yours.
Wow, I thought you were going to say Juice. You got the juice now, dog.
I mean, I'm not from your hood, though.
But Juice is in New York.
No, but that's like Harlem.
Okay, what about New Jack City?
No, that's Harlem.
What about...
I'm from the Bronx. So my hood would be a Bronx Tale.
Wait, are you from New York?
I'm from New York.
Okay, so like... See, I'm
do the right thing.
We're from LA, so it's
all. No, she's offended by that. That's Brooklyn.
That's Brooklyn. There's Brooklyn, there's Queens, and there's Manhattan, and then there's the Bronx. And then there's Staten Island, but nobody cares about Staten Island.
What's kids?
Lower East Side.
What's kids? Kids is Lower East Side? That's
Lower
kids?
Side. I really like Raising Victor Vargas, also Lower East Side.
I'm surprised nobody mentioned What's Up Rockers.
What? Yeah, what? Does Born in East LA count?
Hell yeah, Born in East LA counts. That's my jam. That's my...
I got one for you, though. What about The Karate Kid?
That's if you're from the Valley.
That's Hood Valley, though. That's Hood Valley. Single mom. Yeah. Got to get raised up by some random janitorial Japanese guy to teach him how to fight. That's Hood.
You're living in apartments?
Yeah.
He's from New Jersey.
That's Valley Hood right there.
Well, yeah, he's a transplant.
From New Jersey. Also,
as a chick from the Valley, I can confirm Reseda falls into the Hood part of the Valley.
It's official, folks. You heard it here first. The Karate Kid is an official Hood movie.
I didn't say that.
I got to go to the Alameda Swami Knot and get it. Okay. So, somehow, we started a conversation of what... Are you, as you know, an individual, what is your or one of your favorite quote unquote hood movies? Like, you know, like Boys in the Hood, Menace to Society, Blood In, Blood Out. Do you have one?
Yeah, I guess probably Blood In, Blood Out. Yeah.
What is it about Blood In, Blood Out?
Number one, when I was young, it just had a lot of memorable lines, you know.
Los Locos Forever.
Give me some chonchon. But like later on, when I got older, I found out that the screenplay writer for that movie is one of our greatest Chicano poets, Jimmy Santiago Baca. So... that gave me even more reason to like really like that movie.
I remember him talking about that in ELAC once and saying that I forget which like learning disability he has or like troubles, but like he's like borderline like dyslexic or something that like isn't obviously, you know, normal, and it impedes his like ability to read and write.
Yeah, I mean, he actually learned really how to read and write when he was in prison, you know. I don't know how it happened when he just started writing letters to this poet. And this poet would write letters back to him. And they started like a really good relationship like that. And he just started writing poetry. And she helped him like get his stuff published. And so it's a great story about like redemption, you know. And like shows that people can change, you know. So, yeah.
What's his most famous book? Burro de Oro, or like something about gold?
No, it's Joaquin. No, I think it's Martin and Meditations in the South Valley, something like that. And he also has Black Mesa Poems. But the other book is more well known. Yeah.
Can you help me remember?
I mean, more recently, he has like a book called Healing Earthquakes and Set This Book on Fire. So, yeah.
Mary, do you have a favorite movie?
I don't have a favorite movie, but I have a favorite like Instagram account, like Boots Gone Wild. Like, I literally saw my fucking street. I was like, is that down the street from me? Or, I mean, like, yeah, down the street from me. And I was, you know, I was like, how did I miss this? Like, it must have been on TV, you know, but it was funny because it was like preserved, like, you know, through like their account. And I mean, I lived in South Central, like, all my life, and I just find it funny how it, like, that culture is being, like, embraced by other people. Like, we all have, like, everybody wants to be a part of a family, build, you know, continue building for something, but things like that, like, preserve, like, cultural legacies.
Let me, so Jasmine is leaving. Introduce yourself, Jasmine. I think you did, right?
I introduced myself.
Do you, so we got started on this conversation of hood movies. Do you have a favorite one?
A what?
Hood movies.
Hood movies?
Yeah, like Boys Clueless. In the Hood.
Mean Girls.
I mean, we just decided over there that Karate Kid is technically a hood movie.
That's true, it's from Valley.
Yeah.
Reseda?
Yeah.
Technically, Clueless is a hood movie.
Why Clueless?
Why not?
A young Alicia Silverstone, Donald Faison.
I don't know any other names.
Oh, R.I.P. Brittany Murphy.
Brittany Murphy, yeah. I don't know. It was the first movie that I saw where I was like, hey, I can relate to that.
Being white?
No. Being from L.A., asshole.
Hey, you had a really good soundtrack. Had a really good soundtrack.
Yes, it did. I'm also a huge Radiohead fan and a Paul Rudd fan.
Oh, yeah, young Paul Rudd. The same age. He still looks the same.
Aged really well.
Oh, yeah, he must have like
fine wine, Paul Rudd.
Well, thank you for coming.
I miss you.
Thank you. Is there anything you want to say?
Happy birthday, fool.
Thank you. Oh, man. Whoa. Whoa.
The Ant-Man movies considered hood classics?
Only because of Luis.
Right. And the second one has that whole Morrissey thing.
You know, I'm seriously considering, because I saw, like, the San Diego Comic-Con previews. That's how kind of we started on this hood movies conversation. Because we started talking about who can who can replace Blade in the reboot. And then I saw the news that they're going to do a Luis action figure.
Yeah. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. But I was kind of disappointed because it's in the part of the, in, I think it's the second Ant-Man movie, where he's wearing like his suit and a tie.
Yeah, and they need to have him with like the Pendleton and the Dickies and shit.
A hat?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just nerding out on that. Oh, man. Is there anything else y'all want to add? Shout out.
Oh, you know, no, yeah, for sure. Shout out to Foods Gone Wild because they actually hit us up and they tried to like do like a limited edition printing of like a shirt that was like, you know, like calling in for like unity and.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, and the funding, so part of the profits were going to go to our Union del Barrio like organization. So I thought it was dope that like, you know, even though, like, this account is mostly focused on, like, humor and, like, you know, talking about, like, culture in NLA, it's also, like, building or trying to build towards something that, you know, is community-based and it's, like, servicing people in our neighborhoods.
Yeah, doing more with that, like, power of presence that you have, aside from just, like, really, like, sharing problematic videos that are really funny and that we secretly like and share to each other.
I mean, we're all problematic. It's the point is to keep moving forward and build, you know, like, I mean, I could say, like I feel like I'm coming to terms with, like, Morrissey. Like, he's a piece of shit. Like, as much as I may love the Smiths and Morrissey and have gone through that whole high school emo phase, like, I can't respect him. Like, you know, like, he may talk about, like, similar, like, working class experiences and a love for poetry, but ultimately he's a white supremacist and doesn't care about anything other than, like, right, like, ideas that are, like, super problematic and shouldn't be allowed in, like, our spaces. So Chicanos that embrace Morrissey, you need to, like, come to terms that he's a piece of shit and he's not going to change. Like, unfortunately, it took a while for it to, like, fully, like, come out in public. But, I mean, he has said things in the past that have been, like, extremely problematic, like, talking very, like, negatively about, like, reggae culture and Jamaican people. And so, you know, like, had he maybe come, like, apologize or said something like, hey, you know, like, I know, like, in my youth I said some fucked up shit and, you know, as an older person I reflect, like, no, he hasn't. And if anything, he's gotten worse, so.
He's doubled down on a lot of that, like, alt-right shit.
Yeah, and he's like really public, and I mean he embraces that shit, so he has no, he shouldn't have a place in Chicano culture.
Shouldn't. What? What do I need to drink? Oh, can somebody hand me a menu?
What do you want?
Aside beer. From water? Let's try the weekly punch.
I'm going to punch you.
That works too.
But weekly.
Well, can you share for folks who might not be familiar what Union del Barrio does and who they are?
Well, Union del Barrio is a grassroots community socialist organization based out of San Diego and L.A. We have a couple of members throughout the state, but what we focus on is doing community organizing in our direct neighborhood. So I live in South Central, and through Union del Barrio, I've become a member of, like, neighborhood councils and understood more directly how, like, local policies, like, affect our community. So one of the things that I'm really proud about the work that we do is that we do, like, direct interactions with people. So it's not, like, this, like, nonprofit idea of, like, hey, like, we're going to feed the homeless and give them a meal. But it's like, hey, like, there are people in our neighborhoods that don't understand their rights when it comes to, like, immigration. And something that we're doing now is we're building comités de resistencia. So basically, in the case of an ICE raid, we're trying to train people to know what to do, like, whether it's forming, like, a human chain or understanding the kind of paperwork to look for. Like, those are things that are really important. But unfortunately, like, I mean, the government or, like, a nonprofit is not going to go out of their way to, like, promote that, you know. But what we're trying to do is get people to understand that, just like before, during, like, Nazi era times, people could have come out in mass, as a mass movement, to stop things from happening. They didn't, because they kind of just got comfortable and they were like, well, it's not affecting me directly, and, well, I don't know about, like, I don't really know my neighbor and I don't really care to know them. And, you know, it's easier to scapegoat people than to, like, build unity and keep moving forward. So so what we're doing now is splitting up ourselves into regions, like South LA, South Central, the east part of LA, and then the west side. So if anybody has any wants to learn more about how to do, like, direct organizing against ICE, like, I think that was something that was highlighted in the LA Times. I think they said something like Unión del Barrio, oh no, sorry, in La Opinión, they were like, Unión del Barrio es la organización que no tiene miedo a la migra. So they were saying, like, you know, these are the people that are not afraid of ICE. So I thought that was really powerful, because, I mean, who can say that? Like, you know, and especially, like, printed, like, I thought that was really powerful of them to do, like, on our behalf.
So I read that article, and I think they were profiling what folks in San Diego were doing, which is they have a watch ICE patrol, right?
Yes, so that's something else that we're trying to do in our neighborhood as well, is making sure that people understand what has been done in the past and what we're doing now. And, I mean, if people want to do that, like, I actually suggested in one of our meetings that, I mean, I don't drive. Like, I'm a commuter. I take the bus. I walk to wherever I'm going. So one of the ideas that I had was maybe having people that bicycle, like, you know, that go on bike rides to, like, form, like, these maybe other, like, bike routes, so that people can familiarize themselves with, like, the city and understand, like, where they can go, and not just to, like, count on, like nonprofit organizations, but also to reach out, like, to churches and these other places that have called for sanctuaries in their spaces.
That's, to be honest, that's always been my plan B. For as long as I learned about, like, sanctuary spaces, is that when the migra comes after me, you can find me at Placita Olvera.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, fuck, man. Like, people talk about all the great work that churches do. Like, this is the time, like, if you're a part of a church, or, like, if you are involved in your church, then you should be making sure that is, like, either stated somewhere or very clear to the members of those spaces that is a sanctuary. And it should be, because, I mean, it's tax exempt. People put in a lot of work, not just, like, energy, but, like, money into these spaces. So, I mean, they belong to the community, so people should have access to, like, in an emergency, to, like, something like that.
I mean, nowadays, I think, because that was my thinking back then when I first learned about sanctuary spaces. But realistically speaking, if that were the case for me, Dolores' mission would be a lot closer than Placito Olvera. Or even Victory Outreach.
Man, whatever fucking works. I mean, this is the time when, like, love will, you know, people talk about love and unity, but it's like, okay, well, at some point we have to make that a physical reality. So, if I have family who is undocumented, so this is real to me. You know, it's not like, you know, like some white hippie idea of, like, love my neighbor and shit. You know, this is like, I know that one day they're going to come for me, like, not it, or my family, you know? And I live down the street from a church, so that's my plan. Like, hey, like, I know I'm not a direct member of your church, but I live in your neighborhood, so love your neighbor, and I'm your fucking neighbor, man, you know?
So very much putting that social media posting, all that hype that I think most of us do, and putting it into action, right? You know, like, if it means standing in front of, like, ICE agents or doing something like that. Like, even today, I was watching a TV news clip about neighbors who came out because one of their neighbors was getting arrested. So even though they were limited in what they could do, they still recorded everything that happened and put it on social media and challenged the ICE agents. They're like, yo, what the fuck are you doing? That's not right. You don't have an arrest warrant signed by the judge, all that kind of stuff that gets circulated around social media. So everybody can do something in their own way, whether it's recording, filming, or taking it to that ultimate step of, like, I'm going to get between you and them because I don't want them to take you from me.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to clarify that peaceful love, as beautiful as it is, it's not enough. Like, this... people are not peaceful. The people that are attacking our family and friends are not peaceful. Like, they're coming in into our neighborhoods armed in the morning when nobody's out. And, I mean, they're strategic, right? So we have to be strategic and we have to be prepared to be physical about what we're doing. So, yes, love is the answer, but I want to say it has to be, like, an outrageous love, because in order for somebody to put their body in front of somebody else, like, that's not easy to do, but it also has to be, like, clear, and I mean, that person knows what they're doing, you know, so it has to be, like, a critical kind of love. It's not just, like, oh, like, yeah, like, peace and love, like, you know, like, this is, like, it's not, it's, that's the beginning, you know, and I don't want to talk shit about people who are like that, but hey, not everybody has the privilege to be peaceful.
I couldn't have said it better myself. So, taking, like, a dramatic left turn, Nikolai, what do you think? Because you kind of brought this up and you reminded me of this. What do you think about cops adopting the Punisher symbol for, like, representing that whole, like, bullshit of, like, thin blue line?
I mean, it's fucked up, but I mean, it makes sense, you know. It makes sense because, I mean, that's what they want to be. They want to be judge, jury, and executioners. I mean, they're not taking into consideration that the Punisher is out, you know, in the comic books that we read. He's, you know, taking on the mafia and ruthless killers and all that. You know, they're you know, going after immigrants and just poor people in the community, but they're seeing them as, like, the most vile things out there, you know? So, and they want to give them the worst kind of punishment that they can get away with. So in those terms, it makes sense, you know? It makes sense. And I know there's comic book writers who've said all kinds of different things, but I mean, I see where their mentality is coming from, you know?
Even the creator of the Punisher says, like, yo, you got a twist in my guy. That's not why I created the Punisher.
Yeah. I mean, to me, you know, my favorite Punisher story is when he goes out to Arizona and kills, you know, white supremacists, you know? But they're not thinking about that. They probably never even read him, you know? They probably just know that he's like some ex-Marine who's, like, real tough and kills people, you know?
Taking justice into his own hand.
Yeah, exactly. They don't read the books. They don't know the context, you know.
Yo, man, when you wrote that blog post about, like, reviewing that whole story arc of him going to kill superpower Nazis, I went, like, I mean, it's problematic, But I straight out went to Amazon, looked it up, and I bought that fucking book.
That's a great storyline. I mean, I think it was so good, like, because I was, for whatever reason, I was buying, like, all the issues back then. I think this was when they had killed Captain America, so he was Captain America for a little while, or he was trying to be Captain America, so I was just buying him. The writing was really good. I think Matt Fraction was writing, and this guy, what's his name, Olivier or something, was drawing it, like, really, really awesome drawings. So I was buying every issue, but that storyline was so good. I went out and bought the hardcover, you know. It was so good.
I had to go out and buy the collected because hunting for those, like, single issues is, like, a pain in the ass sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, back then I was going to comic shop every week, so it wasn't a big issue, but, you know. But, yeah.
What are you reading right now?
Right now, reading Justice League. Reading X-Men, Uncanny X-Men.
I was going to say, which X-Men? There's like 10 of them.
That's the only one I'm reading, Uncanny X-Men. And I know they're about to do a whole bunch of dumb changes, so I'll probably stop reading that. But Action Comics is really good. Bendis.
Yeah, that's Brian Michael Bendis.
Brian Michael Bendis, who, when he started doing New Avengers, you know, I really liked him. And that's back when I was more of a Marvel person. But then I became a big DC person. And I stopped caring about what Bendis was doing. Except for, like, Miles Morales, Spider-Man, you know. But now he's in DC, which is, like, amazing. And Action Comics is pretty dope.
It's a good time to be reading comics. Because I've changed, like you, I've changed my habits. I think I'm reading more of the independent stuff. Especially because those are the folks that are more creator-owned. And those are the folks that are giving us the stories of, like, people of color and, like, the things that we don't hear in the two big publishers.
Yeah. I'm reading Snot Girl, Image. You know, that's indie, kind of. And Goddess Mode. I was reading that miniseries. And right now there's, like, a big thing where, like, people are, like, really into witches and brujas and magic.
Yeah, I read Mark Miller's The Magic Order because it's going to be a Netflix show.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, like, Goddess Mode is, like, a mix of, like, technological stuff and, like, magic. And there's, like, a bunch of other books out like that. It's pretty cool right now.
Yeah, nerdy conversations. Cubans fighting This is like the third time I say it. Cubans fighting zombies. Juan of the Dead. All I have to say is, in one scene, the main character is fighting zombies with nunchucks.
That's what Cubans do.
It came out like 2010, 2012, something like that. Super under the radar. But so, yeah, dude, it's hilarious. It's on that tip of Shaun of the Dead. So it's like kind of like a little bit self-aware, yeah. Juan of the Dead. Kind of. Because it's a little self-aware. But it's more on that Shaun of the Dead tip. Juan of the Dead, if you're listening to this, watch Juan of the Dead. You should also watch Den of Thieves, which I'm saying is the successor to Heat. So if you like those shootout hood movies, heist movies, like I think right now Showtime has like the viewing rights. But you know, it's nothing like a trip to the Pirate Bay can't help.
I'm gonna tell you all the story about how I met Eric Huerta. It was a brisk night. We were at a brewery serving delicious liquor in the form of beer. It was nice. It was cool. And in walks Eric Huerta. And I'm like, that's Eric Huerta. As he walked up to me, I felt a little shiver in my spine. My goosebumps, you know, popped up and the hairs on my arms raised up. And I was like, ooh. Eric Huerta. Look at that guy walking over here, looking sexy as fuck. I was captivated by Eric Huerta and his luscious, beautiful Latino skin that never wrinkles, and that goatee that will forever reach for that mustache and never reach it. But it's in a metaphor for Eric Huerta. Yes, people. Eric Huerta is that man.
Oh.
That's right, you heard it here. All fucking day. All day, every day, this day, that day, yesterday, today, tomorrow. Every day.
What up, everybody? It's Memo. We're back here with the Jack Off Hour at the Little Mermaid with heavy metal play, music playing and black. So I'm here, Monday night, Eric Huerta's birthday. He's 35. He's rocking now. He's feeling sexy. He's looking goddamn fuckable right about right now. Oh, yeah.
Wait. What did you say? The Denny's shits?
A hallmark of Denny's eating is the Denny's shits. You're guaranteed to have a wonderful afternoon the next day on the toilet after a hearty, delicious, sweet meal at Denny's. Memo, how does Denny's make you feel the next day?
I don't know about the next day, but like at 2 in the morning when I'm drunk as shit, it makes me feel great.
The nearest Denny's right now is over by Union Station on Vigness. That's 24/7.
My favorite place at 3 a.m. in L.A. is Union Station.
Hey, why are you using your sexy voice, by the way, to talk about Denny's?
Because it's after 1 a.m.
It's 1:19.
It's 1:19. We were just talking about how we have a problem that we can't find late night food spots outside of Koreatown that are 24/7 and won't give you the shits. Carl's Jr., Subway, Jack in the Box.
Yeah, tacos. 99 cent tacos at Jack in the
Box. Two tacos for 99 cents.
That's my jam.
When you're having to find taqueros giving tacos for $1.50, $2, and Jack in the Box has two tacos for 99 cents, you know your digestive system is not going to be having a good time.
You are not thinking about your digestive system at that time.
You're thinking about how there's two tacos for a dollar. That is a good deal. Because, I mean, like, fast food restaurants only put 30% of actual, quote-unquote, beef in their beef byproducts. And the other, like, 70% is mealworms.
But I bet you didn't know that Jack in the Box doesn't use meat in their tacos.
Yeah.
It's all soy.
Oh, I thought it was mealworms.
That's why you get churros.
So it's more, I mean, but they're still frying it in the same, like, frying thing that you dip them in thing, in the basket thing, where, like, all the other meats get fried. So it's not vegan. It's just not meat.
Yeah, they never claimed they were vegan tacos. It's just not
meat. You're right. They never did. They never did.
They never claimed there was meat either.
They never did either. It's just you're getting two tacos for a dollar.
Aren't insects like worms a good source of protein?
They're the best
What the fuck are you talking about, Brian?
They're the best source of protein when they're like eaten in the Amazon in natural. Like, you're starving John Rambo shit.
So you're saying the worms that they find in the trash that they use to make these taco meats are not the worms that are good for us?
Nah, not the ones in the trash. I think these have to be farmed.
Thank you for the powwow.
I'm just so chill. Thank you.
aren't we all trying to learn at the end of the day as men?
Birthday boy.
To unlearn all the shit that like fucking society has like fucking instilled in us from day one.
Okay, Eric.
It's like it's a never life ending like unlearning.
Where's the hot guy? That's all I want to know is where's the hot guy? I know he has.
I'm right here.
Look at him.
Oh, just because you're tall and you have a beard. Oh.
Because you got a beard. And
hey. Tall beard privilege. Fuck y'all.
Thank you. Yes, that is. That I think I got like a good hour of like footage. Not footage. That's really video. Voice recording. Yeah, for like a good half hour, I didn't know what the fuck y'all were saying. You being Brian and Memo.
I apologize for anything that may have said very drunk and high because I have no idea what I was talking about.
Some might say that eating tacos your whole lifetime is as great, if not better, than the helicopter.
Yeah, I mean, life gives you choices and you either choose to eat or not eat tacos. I've chosen to eat a lot of tacos.
Yes, amen.
I've never had to sacrifice a helicopter for tacos, though.
Because you're tall. And you have a beard. What time is it?
26.
Wow, this is the latest I've been up in, like, in a long time. On purpose.
On purpose?
On purpose.
He wants to know where his helicopter is landing.
On my bed, on my 35-plus-year-old blanket that I was conceived in. San Marcos blanket and shit.
That's nasty.
That's not nasty. That's comforting.
Nasty.
Yo, when I posted up the tag of that San Marcos blanket on social media. Wait, is that guy honking for us? Like, I didn't order a guy with the man bun. Yeah, 35-year-old plus blanket. Very comforting, you know.
Crunchy.
It's not crunchy.
It is.
It's not. I don't know how you can feel... quote unquote crunchy.
It bends, it makes a sound. Blankets are not supposed to do that. It's like crunch.
I know why they do that. For the record, I've had my San Marcos. I have two. I have a red one with a panda and a brown one with a lion. Legit San Marcos, and I've had them both since I was a kid. And neither of them are crusty, Marisol.
Mine has a few holes in them. Yeah, I thought he was driving a Prius at first, but he looked like he's driving a Hyundai or something. I didn't know Metal Nights, Metal Mondays were so popping.
They're not. It's just us.
I mean, honestly, because like on the weekend, on a given Friday and Saturday, you have to go to South Central to catch a good metal show. This is just a guy like playing music we put on a list on his computer. I can do that at home.
It's still pretty cool, though. I mean, I've never been to a dive bar like this.
He wouldn't let you take a picture of his hair?
Nah, the Uber driver had a man bun. And I was like, yo, can I take a picture of your hair? And he was like, nah, I'm good.
I think he knew you were kind of buzzed.
Yes, and he was embarrassed about his man bun.
Wow. Brian needs to learn to stop embarrassing himself in front of people.
No shame.
Wait, what ended up happening?
I walked away.
Wait, Marisol, please call a rideshare app service that I will not name because they will get free promotion. at this time right now, but it's very problematic to use because we believe in workers' rights and they should be treated as full employees. But in this problematic world that we lived in, we still have to rely on problematic systems that give us convenience and cheaper. Wait, I'm still here.
Are you talking about the Uber driver?
Wait. Talk about Blue Waffle.
I don't get the Hawkeye. I don't get Pantera. Mikey's not drinking the beer with me.
Mikey.
And
booze is not for everybody.
And the DJ's telling me to come back. I can't come back. I only have one time to come.
That whole comeback thing is to get more money out of you. Pantera is the thing out of Texas. And it's okay. You don't have to drink alcohol.
Oh, are you recording right now?
Yeah, it's for my podcast.
Oh, my God.
What's up, podcast?
Do you want to give any shout-outs?
Shout out to my mama.
No, he doesn't.
Yo mama.
No, my mama.
All your mamas.
Your daddy. Ooh,
your daddy. Yo, daddy.
You know, that's what our birthdays are. Like, the culmination of us celebrating our parents having sex with each other to bring us to this world. Shout-outs?
What's up with your tacos hat, man?
Yo, that's the man Miguel, Tacocidal. You can follow him on Instagram.
Were you raised at?
I was born in Mexico City till I was 7, and then I grew up in Boyle Heights.
You were in Boyle Heights? I was in Highland Park. What's up?
Yeah, what's up, Eastside?
What's up? Yeah. Highland Park? Woo!
HPL. Not HP, because HP is Huntington Park.
HPL. What's up? Yeah. What's up with that skate park? What's up with that Burbank? What's up with
the
that
one by the river?
Yeah.
No, that's Cypress Park. My bad. That's Frogtown.
Fucking up.
Liza Beltran, what's up, girl? Chew.
Yeah. What's up, foo? Any more shout-outs besides your parents?
Your mom, foo.
Yeah, what's up, mom?
Ephraim Flores, Zion, my bad. Rest in peace. I love you, baby. I love you so much. You know.
And please introduce yourselves.
Hey, this is Mikey. I'm very drunk right now. What's up?
Well, I thought you didn't drink.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty good.
All right, you're good.
Millicent, everyone goes by Millie. Everybody kind of knows me. And they know my bad side, and they know my good side. So, I love you guys. What's up?
You know what I realized today?
He's middle aged.
No, besides that, I'm in a completely different demographic now.
What's your demographic?
So before it's like 18 to 35, that's quote unquote young, a young person. I moved up a tax bracket. Now I'm like those people that are like nobody cares about their opinion because I'm 35 to 54. No, nobody cares.
35 to 54, that's the thing.
Next time you take a survey and they ask you for your age, you'll see it.
That's like a big ass age gap, bro.
Oh, that's a fucking hell. That's a big ass.
You're fucking old, bro.
I am.
I'm 30.
Biche viejo.
Yeah, I'm not quite at the fucking 34.
Let me take off my hat and look at my hair.
Arrugado desde las yoyas hasta arriba.
I'll be worried once I start getting white hairs outside of my scalp.
He already has that problem. Well, just can't see,
you know.
It's growing in nicely on my scalp, but once I get it everywhere else, and I start getting into like that gray bush territory.
White balls all the way. Fuck yeah.
Gray bush, right, Memo?
Gray bush.
Memo? He looks to Memo. Memo, yes. See? White bush? Okay. Me, you? Okay.
I call my bush Gandalf.
Wait, which one?
Because that shit's magical.
Hey.
That's like Mordor status.
You shall not pass.
No. I gotta say that's more than once to women, dude.
That shit's magical, man. I mean, we totally missed an opportunity to record about the conversation that where you got your Gandalf waxed for the first time.
Whoa. Wait, what?
If you guys want to hear it, that's a special podcast right there with more tequila.
Thank you for sharing.
Hey, this is Mikey and Millie signing out.
Thanks, y'all. Thank you for stopping by.
Check out Mutagen.
Enjoy your night.
That too. Yeah.
Check out Mutagen.
Give me those shout-outs. Give those
shout-outs. Your other fucking band. Check out Slayer. Fucking Behemoth.
They're retiring. That's it.
Does it fucking matter?
They're like, Tom Araya is going to go back to Huntington Park.
Chill, Slayer.
Yeah. Enjoy your night. Have a good time. Get home safe. We will.
Did it burn for like a week? My beard was bad. Oh, because you're a virgin. You haven't done that before.
You were bleeding?
Yeah, no.
It was like the 40-year-old virgin, but in his crotch.
Exactly.
Wow.
He was yelling Taylor Swift.
Wait, what?
You haven't seen 40-year-old virgin?
I have seen 40-year-old virgin.
Well, that's what he yells, Taylor Swift.
No.
No, he
Kelly
doesn't.
Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson. Yeah. I'm like 10 years behind.
You are. It's a very specific year.
It is. Oh, my God. It's a bad movie because it's
wow,
what's...
2007.
It's not Paul Rudd. It's Paul Judd.
No, Paul Rudd.
It's Paul Rudd.
No, Paul Rudd's in it, but who's the director? Paul Rudd. No, Paul Judd. Judd something.
I know, Seth Rogen. Not Seth Rogen.
No, he's in it too.
It was...
This is also a very simple question that can be answered with a smartphone. Basically. So, Jack in the Box tacos.
Yeah.
They're playing Ace of Spades.
This is a metal song? Ace of Spades?
So, Motorhead in my book. Technically, Motorhead falls before the definition of metal because it was in like the early and late
70s. They were like late classic leading into metal.
If you want to put them in a book or like a genre, it would be part of the British invasion with like Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, all those bands that came like...
He's right because he saw a documentary.
I have the documentary. Metal, A Headbanger's Journey. You should watch it. I know my metal history.
So they were at one of the Coachellas I went to, and me and my homeboy, we were fucking drunk, high. We were drugged out of our goddamn minds. And Motorhead was playing, and I think if we went to go see Motorhead and ditched either Drake or somebody else like that. We're like, fuck Drake, let's go watch Motorhead. We're going to go watch Motorhead, and we swore we were rocking out. We swore we were rocking out. Nope, we got video footage of us just chilling there. Just swaying back and forth like we were dumbasses. Drunk and out of our minds. But in our own minds, we were partying the fuck out. It was the best party I've ever been to. That's all that mattered. But literally, just standing there staring at him.
Yeah, because like the other day you saw me wearing a Motorhead shirt. It's like, yo, I saw Motorhead before Lemmy died. R.A.P. Lemmy.
Yeah,
Yeah.
By the way, do you know which bar was his bar where they have his seat retired?
The Rainbow in Sunset. Sunset Avenue. In said movie that I mentioned before, Metal, A Headbanger's Journey, he's like seen being playing at the Rainbow Bar and, correct me if I'm wrong, living on top of the Rainbow Bar playing Panzer Dragoon Orza on Xbox. That's how old the movie is. He also, in his interview, has, like, a very weird relationship with his son because he's, like, a fucking metalhead through and through, and that means toxic masculinity, so he never really built a real relationship with his son. And it's only until his son is, like, in his later years that they're both trying to, like, figure that shit out.
Wait, but didn't he book, like, 500 women or something?
No, that's Gene Simmons from Kiss.
Oh.
He might have. I don't doubt Lemmy Kilmister from Motorhead would have had sex with very many, many women over the years of the decades. But Gene Simmons from Kiss is the only one to, like, boast about that shit. Like, it's a fucking Guinness World Record and shit.
I wonder how many STDs he has.
Well, I was thinking about that, too, because I saw the Motley Crue documentary from Netflix.
If you get to fuck 500 women, all the STDs are worth it.
Ha 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 ha! think it should be very obvious right now that we're all not in a conscious, fully conscious state of mind.
I am.
You are. Because somebody has to get me home.
No, no, no. It says Lemmy has slept with over 2,000 women.
Did he brag about that, though?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he did.
He did. Apparently, he did. What is the link linking you to, like, Revolver or something?
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. Oh, wow. It's in Wikipedia. Confirmed. Lemmy Kilsmeister has had sex with more than 500 women.
2,000.
Oh, 2,000.
It was a sexy picture where he, like...
Oh, he's wearing jorts? That one time he was on, like, Headbangers Ball and he was wearing jorts? Fucking Lemmy is God. If you don't know about Lemmy Kilmeister, I don't know.
Mathematics behind sleeping with 1,000 women.
That's literally
that's
headline. I mean, he's been around for so long, and he's probably counting before he made it.
1,000, that means he was fucking at least one woman a day for like.
I can't do math right
like
now.
9 or 10 years.
But maybe he's like fluffing up his numbers when like he had like more than one partner at the same time.
Call that fluffing up? I call that pimp.
You gotta sleep at some point.
You do. I mean, the 70s and 80s were like, from what I understand in terms of books, autobiographies, and documentaries, quote unquote, wild and unprotected, but I could only watch so much VH1.
Right, because VH1 can only put out so much content for you, fool.
Yeah. I mean, I can only watch so much Behind the Music. It's like, they did a Behind the Music about Green Day? They haven't even been around that long.
Green Day?
Green Day.
Step away from this venue.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hungry.
They talk trash. Should I call it now?